My name is Maydell Goulart, and I'm 82 years old. This is the second part of my personal history that began in 1990 when I left my home in California to join a two-month prayer vigil sponsored by Church Universal and Triumphant under the leadership of Elizabeth Clare Prophet. A well-to-do uncle on my mother's side passed away in 1988, and in the following year, I and nine other relatives each received an inheritance of $39,000. With this unexpected windfall, I was able to purchase 50% of a 50-year lease from the church on 20 acres of land in North Glastonbury in partnership with a close friend who purchased the other 50%. That left the remainder of the money I inherited to buy food and shelter space. Without that money, I would still be in California. God works in wondrous and miraculous ways. The years 1988 to 1994 foreshadowed a potential Third World War. We were told by the Ascended Masters that if we were totally prepared by building underground shelters along with giving a two-month prayer vigil, we could prevent it from happening. Our nation did experience a limited war of 6 months in the Middle East between August 1990 and January 1991, known as the Gulf War. But a full-blown Third World War was totally avoided, from whatever source, by our being obedient to the guidance of the Great White Brotherhood and the building of underground shelters, which had been an enormous test for everyone involved. After funds were raised in North Glastonbury in 1991, volunteer workers began creating a much-needed chapel out of a garage that was attached to the Thomas More School. It had to be extended in length, and a new roof was added with a finished interior. The chapel was completed in the fall. Services were held 7 days a week, starting with morning services beginning at 5 a.m., and 4 evening services beginning at 7 p.m. plus Sundays. I became one of the main decree leaders. We had an overflow of attendees until 1994, when there began a decrease in attendance. The danger period of a Third World War had ended. In December 1991, I slipped on a patch of ice as I was crossing a parking lot and landed on my buttocks. I quickly jumped up and felt all right, so I continued on with my errand. This turned out to be far more serious than I had thought. After a series of problems with the neck vertebrae, a headache developed at the base and top of my head. I ended up seeing a New Age doctor when I started having flashing lights in my eyes. He quickly diagnosed the problem. When I fell on my buttocks, I knocked two cords out of alignment that paralleled my spine. By tapping on either side of the spine and on the top and sides of my head, he solved the problem. All symptoms had disappeared, but 3 months later, the flashing lights in my eyes started up again. By calling to my body elemental to fix the problem, it was accomplished in 10 to 15 minutes. I have experienced these flashing lights off and on now for the last 24 years and is always put to rights by my body elemental when called upon. The problem is connected with the retina of the eye that was evidently weakened by the original fall and could potentially lead to blindness if it was not quickly taken care of. Thank God for body elementals. Then in 1993 on Valentine's Day, I again slipped on some ice on the way to Sunday service. I was twisted to the side and fell on my left hip. I heard a loud pop. I had split open the ball at the end of the left femur. At the hospital in Bozeman, the injured ball was replaced with a steel ball. The next day, the surgeon came to see how I was doing. He then very gently informed me that my right thigh was riddled with cancer to the point that it would have to be amputated. After I thought about it, I concluded his diagnosis had to be incorrect and told him he needed to take new x-rays. He reluctantly agreed. When he came back after the new x-rays were taken, he apologetically told me my thigh was perfectly fine. What he took for cancer on the first set of x-rays was evidently a shadow from the x-ray machine. I was charged $12,000 by the hospital for 2 days and three nights of their hospitality. And at the end of 3 months, I would be charged 10% interest for the outstanding amount still owed. That came to $100 per month, twice the amount of the agreed-upon monthly payment of $50. It looked like I would never be out of debt. But 11 months later, in January of the following year, my debt was paid in full with money to spare. My California house had finally been sold. This occurred at a time when I was hosting daily two-hour special violet flame prayer services in my home to support the elementals, because our chapel was being used during the day for a schoolroom. These sessions were put on hold while I was in the hospital. I returned home directly from the hospital, and the following Monday I was able to continue conducting the violet flame services in my home once again. I had a friend stay with me for 3 weeks until I was fully able to take care of myself. In 1995, it was determined by church headquarters that the term for holding an office on the Board of Trustees in Glastonbury was to be limited to 4 years. Some board members had to step down, including the president that left openings for new trustees. I was approached to run for a position on the board. At the time, I was not the least interested. After being asked a number of times more and also receiving calls from several people at headquarters telling me that it was my duty to serve, I finally relented and was voted in at the election held a few weeks later. I began my new position as a trustee by being in charge of the bookstore. At the end of the year, the treasurer announced his retirement, and then I took his place as treasurer. That was in 1996. At the end of that year, most of the board were retiring, so I was voted in as president, and Kim Michaels became vice president until the end of the following year when he moved to Utah to join his wife. I was to be president for the next 2 years, completing 4 years of service. Up until I became president, telephone numbers and addresses of all the people living in the Glastonbury area was kept secret and only available to members of the board or on a need-to-know basis. I decided that it was time that this information should be available to everyone in our community. So I developed a binder containing the telephone numbers of everybody in the communities of North and South Glastonbury, as well as a street directory with maps. Also included was an astrology chart with readings, the history of Glastonbury, and a number of dictations from the masters regarding our community. Following that were yellow pages with advertisements of the various services provided by the local residents. We sold these directories for $10 each as a fundraiser. They were quite in demand. Around the same time, a new telephone message service was begun by using a computer, replacing a system where church telephone trees were passed on by different groups of people serving in the various neighborhood areas. It was a laborious process, so the computer service was much welcomed. Unfortunately, the person who started this service wasn't able to continue because the radiation from the computer was making her ill, so she placed the problem into the hands of the board. No board members wanted to volunteer, so I took over that job for 6 months until we could find a replacement. It turned out to be a permanent job, as no one could be found who was willing to take it on. My term as president ended in 1999, but I continued to send out telephone trees. I am still doing them, but they are no longer church-related. In early 1997, a monster snowstorm dropped almost 2 feet of snow that practically shut down the entire community. Our well was seriously damaged and was out of order for 3 weeks, buried underneath snow and ice. My good friend and neighbor worked in Livingston for the church's book repository. She had moved to a motel in Livingston so she could take a shower and get her clothes washed. After this experience, she had enough of Montana. She put her house and land lease up for sale in North Glastonbury and moved back to California. I remained in my house, and every third or fourth day, I would get the driveway plowed so I could get out, grab a shower at a friend's place, and fill up 10 plastic water jugs to tide me over for a few days. It was a very long 3 weeks. Shortly after this episode, the church announced that through what was called a fee simple document, leaseholders could become owners of their property by paying an extra amount of money. That was just under $2,000. The new owner of my friend's 50% lease wanted to subdivide the property, so we went together and paid the extra money to become full owners of 10 acres each. So once again, as in the past, I owned my house and property free and clear. Because of all the dissension going on between church leaders and the membership after the messenger retired, I decided to withdraw from the church at the end of 2002. In 2003, Kim Michaels, my former vice president, began putting out very interesting emails of a spiritual nature. He later disclosed he was being trained as a messenger by Jesus. The messages were beautiful and carried the right vibration. I and a number of other individuals decided to come together in my home once a week to study these new teachings, followed by prayers and a meditation period. We later changed it to 2 days a week. In the early months of 2005, Kim started to incorporate his wife's teachings on his website that I found extremely disturbing. About this time period, I became aware of David Lewis also giving messages from the Masters. After attending an Easter conference at Wellspring in April, I decided that I would no longer continue with Kim. So I notified my group that on my birthday in May, I would change over to David Lewis and the Heart Center, and end my relationship with Kim Michaels. They were not the least happy with that and decided they would rather stay with Kim Michaels, so started holding these sessions at someone else's house. At a meeting held at Wellspring after the conference, with all the people who were interested in the Heart Center, officers were selected for a board of trustees. John Fanuzzi would be president, and Sherry Cameron would be his assistant. And I was elected treasurer. In 2006, we were assigned by Mother Mary to build an 80-foot statue of her and become a healing center. In 2008, I was elected president, and several months later, I was knighted Lady Auriel by El Moria. The 5 years we were at Wellspring, the Heart Center broadcasted services 7 days a week, twice on Sunday, beginning at 6 a.m. It was extremely arduous, and attendees started to dwindle away over time. In 2010, plans to buy Wellspring and create a healing center was terminated due to lack of progress and money, and the main headquarters was then moved to Livingston. It is 25 miles away from where I live, so I now only attend live services when the weather is good. A few months after this took place, I experienced a vision of a future event in my home of an individual who had received instant healing of an arm injury. After meditating on this for a number of months, I had an inner sense that I should dedicate my property for a healing center to replace the Wellspring plan that died on the vine. After offering my property for such a purpose, two people said they would be interested in developing a healing retreat with me. A month after making this offer, I received numerous visions one afternoon of many healings that would take place on this property. It will require a new building to accommodate this work and a staff of about 20 people, and most of all, funding. My property, which is no longer mine, was dedicated as a nonprofit corporation in April of 2011. The next 3 years were spent in the planning stage. In April 2014, we began our first physical project by building a 7-by-7-foot square Vastu temple and planting 3 new permaculture gardens surrounding it. In 2015, we moved a large amount of boulders to below the south side of the temple and had a gravel road put in. Beginning in August, we've had 3 monthly morning broadcasts from my home, followed by an hour of helping out in the permaculture gardens and a pot fortune breakfast afterwards. Archangel Raphael and Mother Mary have a secondary healing retreat in the etheric realm above this property, located in Paradise Valley, Montana, and are ready to work with us when we have fulfilled our physical requirements here below. One of those requirements is that at least 5 people come together in regular prayer service to support the physical retreat at least once a week, but preferably on a daily basis. There are 2 of us already living here, so that means we need at least 3 more volunteers living in the area to join us. In the meantime, we've had 3 live monthly broadcasts to help hold the balance until we have 5 people to meet our quota. This doesn't include future personnel. I am also in the process of getting ready to publish a 7-chapter book titled Life's Hidden Secrets. 3 of those chapters are in regard to my mystical experiences over the years, many having to do with healing. The other 4 chapters are about some of the teachings I have been exposed to a modern-day mystery school in the last 39 years regarding life's beginnings and endings. And included are past embodiments of David Christopher Lewis. All I have to do now is to figure out how to acquire the money to get the book published. And this concludes my story, part 2. Thank you so much for listening.
Oh, thank you, Maydell, very much for sharing with us. And as a closing short story, I have several questions. We may have just time for one. I was wondering about your Vastu temple and if there's anything special that you could tell us that may have happened to you or on your property because of this temple being there. And also, now that you're talking about your upcoming book, if there's any particular mystical experience you'd like to share. So if you could take a few more minutes and tell us, I'd love to hear it.
There is nothing that I can tell you that's beyond the normal that's happened on my property since the Vastu Temple. We've had a few people that have used it and had experiences that were very helpful. One lady had a spine problem where she was bent over halfway, and when she went in and sat down, about a couple of minutes later, a voice told her that she needed to kneel on the floor. And after she did that, then she was told to put her legs straight out, and she was told something else, which I can't remember right now. Anyway, she was told when the time was over for her to get up, so she got right up and went outside. And then she realized that in the past, when she was on the floor like that, she needed 2 people to help her get up. And she got up all by herself. She was absolutely amazed at that. And that's as much as I can tell you right now.
Oh, thank you, Miguel. Actually, I know that woman. She came to visit me at my house, and I'll tell you, when you say bent over, she was so bent that she couldn't, she totally looked at the floor all the time. She never even could lift her head up. So that story that you're telling of what happened at the, at your temple sounds very miraculous. So it sounds like your healing retreat is on its way, Maydell. And we'll pray for those three more volunteers to assist you to give the daily prayers there. That's very exciting.
Yes, and I'm waiting for God to bring those three people to us soon.
Wonderful.
So we can get on moving. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Thank you, Maydell. Thank you for being with us. We love having you as one of our wonderful heart friends.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you.